All right. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Tandem Talk Show. I'm your host, Coach G. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about five mindset shifts for faster fat loss. And we have an exciting guest with us again today. This guest was with us on episode 135. And I'm super excited to have her on again because she brings so much knowledge, value, and experience in her own coaching, but also her own podcast as well. And so, Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Garrett. It's super exciting to be back on the show.
You know, I was really looking forward to having you on because of your experience and the research you've done with some top level and industry leading nutritionists and researchers on the perspective of mindset and beliefs that we have when it comes to dieting and what we need to know to lose fat in a very sustainable way. And so I'm just really excited to have you on today because, you know, mindset is so big when it comes to losing body fat. And you know, time after time, you know, I've heard so many stories and I talk to women all the time and they tell me they have this belief that because of their past failed dieting attempts, that weight loss almost seems impossible. And so I'm excited to go over a few questions with you. And to start off, I would love to hear from you, Lisa. What would you say is maybe the top one or two mindset or beliefs that you see in women who are trying to lose weight that perhaps are keeping them stuck?
I think number one would be that it has to be something extreme. So, like, I have to say no to carbs completely. I have to eliminate sugar completely. If I don't work out 6 times per week, it's not worth it, that type of thing. Or even if it's not an hour and a half workout, it's not worth it. So, just a little bit of like all or nothing thinking, and also thinking if I can stick with my macros or calories perfectly. The day's already down the drain. I might as well stop tracking. I think that that's probably a big overarching theme that I keep seeing, and I think just that it keeps people away from being consistent with something, and therefore away from maintaining or even achieving their results.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more with you because when it comes to this mindset of trying to be perfect, it's very hard to be consistent in that mindset belief. And like you said too, I feel like so many people have this like more is better mentality where it's like more workouts and more cardio. And, you know, I'm gonna do my best to like be more strict and see better results. And yeah, while like fat loss can be, you know, it may happen faster. You know, at least from my experience, I've learned that it's a lot more difficult to be consistent with that.
Yeah, and I mean, just because it's faster doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to stay off that way. Like, on the contrary, the research is quite clear on that the majority of people who lose weight so quickly, like, let's just say in the Biggest Loser shows or whatever, where they do something really extreme and cut their calories in half, perhaps, and do try to aim for like an hour of cardio per day and more exercise on top of that. The body is going to yo-yo back, or your metabolism as well is going to at some point just say that's enough. And more than anything, like, I think from a mental perspective, we want to live our lives. Like, most people, for them, the losing weight is not their main job, like, probably for nobody out there. So, you have a family, you actually go to work, you want to go on vacation. And so, if you do something this drastic, you can probably stick with it for a short amount of time. But then, like, how do you actually fit your nutrition into your normal life? How do you go away on a weekend trip, or how do you go on date night with your husband if you only have 1200 calories to spare all the time and you're just so hard on yourself? So I think if we shift the whole, because talking about mindset, if we shift our mindset towards not necessarily how can I get to my goal as quickly as possible, but more like what is most sustainable for me. That would be probably the first mindset shift I would love for people to think about. And not just thinking, where am I at in 6 weeks or even 6 months, but where can I see myself in 6 years, 16 years, 36 years? And like, am I still exercising? Am I still focusing on protein and vegetables and kind of moderation with with things, learning how to have treats, but in moderation as well. I think that's a much more sustainable way of approaching nutrition.
Absolutely. And like the basics don't change. Like what's really most important is like being able to stick to the basics for as long as we need to in order to achieve our goal. The intensities of those basics in terms of like step counts and calorie decreases may change over time. And I think it's important to know too, like one, actually I had a conversation with a client this week and she had told me that she went out to like a grilling event, like a party, and it's the first time she ever went to this party and like didn't experience any guilt having a hamburger. She's like, I cannot
Wow,
believe I'm in
that's so
this.
beautiful.
Yeah, and she's like, Garrett, just the flexibility of knowing that there's not one food that will make me gain body fat or prevent me from losing it can be really critical for fat loss. And you know, one thing I try with my clients, Lisa, is I try to make being successful very easy, and I try to make failing or getting off track very difficult. And here's how I do that with our clients, like calorie goals and even their step goals. We give them ranges. And so it's like when I first started coaching in like 2012, I thought you had to be perfect, right? So like I would literally tell my clients to come within like 5 calories of each like calorie target. And that's what I thought. And so it wasn't, I mean, looking back, I realized why so many of my clients fell off track and felt like guilty of not, because they think they thought they couldn't stick to a goal. And then once I realized, let's just make being successful easy, we gave them ranges for steps and calories, and they felt more confident. And from that, they felt like they can do it. And they were more consistent, and they got even better results as well.
That's amazing. Honestly, really cool what your client said about her barbecue or grill party. And just in general, I totally agree that ranges make things so much more sustainable. And I mean, if you've read Atomic Habits, or some of the listeners probably have read Atomic Habits, like anything about changing habits, it always shows that if we set the goal small enough, like, you know, if you have never, if exercise, don't say I'm gonna start going to the gym from tomorrow onwards for 4 days a week, an hour a day, but literally just something as simple as putting on your sneakers and stepping outside of the door. You don't even have to drive to the gym, and maybe the week after that you make it the goal to drive to the gym, but you're not entering the gym. And then maybe the week after that you literally just go there and watch people for 5 minutes, or you know, like building on that.
Yes.
It's like, because that builds the whole self-confidence and discipline and consistency muscle, so to speak, and you're proving to yourself that this time you can actually stick with something, whereas in the past you probably have that limiting belief of like, I can never stick with anything, or I always fall off when we're going on vacation, I always gain the weight back when it's holiday time or whatever. So yeah, breaking that cycle is so powerful.
So what you just said is going to lead us to the second mindset shift. But before we go into that, Lisa, I do want to say one thing. I love the steps that you had kind of laid out for someone who may be new to the gym or new to getting in the habit of going to the gym. For example, just pulling out their sneakers or showing up to the gym without even like going in, because everything we do is habit forming. And the easier it is for us to like to get into the routine of going, the easier it will be to go. And so what's interesting is I had a client who joined the team recently, and she was kind of brand new to working out. And she's a mom of two or three kiddos, and she was really nervous about like working out. And she came with these beliefs, right? And these beliefs caused anxiety. And I asked her about these beliefs, and she thought that starting her program, that she'd have to go to the gym, work out 5 days a week for an hour. I'm like, yeah, none of that's true. In fact, the very first week, like literally the very first week, she was so surprised that I said, hey, listen, your first goal is to do one home workout for 15 minutes. And it's going to consist of 3 to 4 exercises with just some dumbbells. And it was really amazing because she did that. And the next week, she's like, can we do like 3 now? And so she's so consistent now, and she's excited. She's getting stronger. So, anyway, yeah. So, small steps and sustainability is so important for, building that confidence and knowing how to break that belief of you don't have to be perfect, you just have to be consistent.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely.
And then the second mindset shift I think is so important is, Lisa, there's so many women out there who feel like their bodies are broken, right? Or that their metabolic rates are just so slow that they can't lose any body fat because they've been dieting for years. And so let's chat about like the role that mindset plays in like believing that the body is not able to lose body fat and the effect that could have on someone's progress.
Yeah, I think as we already kind of alluded to, like belief is, I don't want to say it's everything, it's not everything, but it's the root, it's the base, it's the foundation of everything. Like if you're planting a tree on rotten ground or on ground that's like trying to destroy the tree, it's not gonna flourish. It's not gonna bear any good fruit either. And likewise, if you don't have a good belief system, or at least trying to change that system into something more positive, what you're doing is not gonna stick. And again, I think we mentioned this in the previous episode, how powerful belief, quote unquote, placebo or whatever, can actually really be. I don't know if you're familiar with the study about milkshakes that I mentioned, this study last time when we spoke. I don't think so, but there was a certain study where they gave two groups exactly the same milkshake. It was maybe like 300 calories or something like that. One group was told this milkshake is actually just a protein shake. It's 100 calories. It's going to help you lose weight. It's super, super healthy for you. It has some minerals in it, blah, blah, blah. The other group was told this is kind of like a milkshake from Dairy Queen. It has some ice cream in it. It's like 600-700 calories. It's more like treated more like a treat. Be careful. But it was exactly the same. And they actually took some blood work from people, from the participants, and it showed that depending on what group they were in, they had a different leptin or ghrelin, so hunger or satiation response, and actually insulin response, just depending on what they believed the
No
food was
way.
doing to them. So like if you think what you're eating is nourishing you, what you're doing is helping you flourish, and so on. If you go about your dieting phase in a positive way, telling yourself, okay, I'm a little bit hungry, but generally speaking, I know this is great. I know exercise, I might not enjoy it in the moment, but it's going to help me later on. It's actually going to affect your physiology in a different way than if you're saying, like, man, I freaking hate broccoli. I wish I could have a burger, and this feels super restricted. Weight loss is hard. And so it's incredible to see how just how we think about something affects our physiology in a different way. And so if we talking about mindset shifts here, if we just try to put a positive spin on things, even if at first it feels maybe fake, we can eventually really internalize that belief. So again, you might start off with a weight loss phase or working with you or with myself, and then thinking, oh, this is gonna be really difficult. But if you start telling yourself every morning, I love myself, I'm doing this to get more energy, to be around longer for my kids, to perform better at work. I'm grateful for the food that I get to eat, and so on. Like you have your mantras, you have your prayer or whatever, and eventually that's gonna sink in and become more part of your personality than if you tell people, oh no, I can't have this, I'm on a diet. No, we can't go on vacation because I'm supposed to lose weight right now. Like all that sounds negative, sounds hard. So really, I guess the first step is just identifying where your limiting beliefs are, because if you don't get to the bottom of them or don't find out what they are, they usually come to the surface in the form of self-sabotage. And they try to hold you back. They try to pull you back into like that comfort zone, that old person, that old personality or identity that you're trying to hold on to. So when you're trying to change, you need to try and learn to think more like that person that you're trying to become.
Wow, that last part you said was so powerful. I mean, everything you said was really important, but what you said last was like really powerful because it's the identity shift that's happening that's causing some incongruence in the belief that these changes can actually happen. Because in the old self, right, there's belief that it's not possible, right? And so like, and that's why not, yeah, not like that's why coaching is so important because you have someone who can pull you trust and who will believe in you that you can actually achieve these results. Because if you don't believe that it can happen, then like subconsciously you'll
You'll align
begin.
your actions with that thought. Absolutely.
Yes, that's so good. And yeah, and so, and then when you believe in it, or when you have someone who believes in you, like I'll be honest, the times I've excelled most of my career when I did not believe in myself, it's when someone came to me and said, "Man, I believe." My very first mentor, what he was the guy that took Tandem, that helped take Tandem full time.
Wow.
I didn't even believe myself. He's like, "But I believe in you, and I'm gonna like help you." And he helped me. And
Amazing.
so sometimes having accountability partners can be very, especially when you have confidence in that person, despite not having belief in yourself. So, oh, that
Yeah,
was
if
great.
you trust them. So I guess to that point, look for a coach that you also resonate with. I think that's actually quite important because, I mean, it doesn't have to be someone that you idolize or that you think the world of, but I think sometimes people don't put enough effort into choosing their coach specifically, and then it's not a deep connection, and I do think that's quite important. It should be someone who you want to please, so to speak, or you want to do well for them. Yeah, I think that's actually underrated.
Yeah, that relationship piece of the person you work with is so important. And that's kind of like what like when I hire mentors myself and coaches myself, like I actually hired John Gorman. I think you know John
Oh,
Gorman quite
cool.
well.
Yeah,
Yeah,
we talked about
and
this.
yeah, and so like I had to make sure like I resonate with him. Like we were a good fit because in the past I looked at like the mentors I've hired that I didn't maybe agree with like spirit, like through like my faith or through other like values. Like I did not do well because I did not want to listen to him. Like when there's
Yeah,
a
that's it.
disconnect, I'm like, I don't know why I'm here anymore.
Yes. No, it's a really good point.
But yeah, so that was awesome. So let's go to mindset shift number three. I think we already kind of touched on this, but I think it deserves more time and attention because I think this is a belief that is stuck in so many people's heads, and even mine too. When I started in my journey like 20 years ago, which is a belief that more is better, right? That the more that we do, the better results that we're going to get. And so, I would like to first kind of get your take on this mentality and like how like as yes as a team of coaches, how we can help someone understand that more is not always better.
The thing with more is better is that initially it works. And if someone has a short-term goal, I think that's absolutely fine. If, especially if they're like realistic about it, you know, not saying like I want to lose 30 pounds in 5 weeks, that's not what I'm talking about. But if you're like, hey, I'm going on vacation in 6 weeks, I want to look great, I want to drop 5 pounds, and I'm going to just add a little bit of extra cardio, and I'm going to reduce some of my food. Bam. Like that's fine, as long as it's a short amount of time, and then also as long as you have an exit strategy. So generally speaking, I think there is a place and time for more is better, but not as a long-term strategy. And that's exactly where most people sort of fail because they don't have an exit strategy. They just stay at low calories or maybe reduce them even further, add even more cardio, reduce them even further, add even more cardio. Again, that just leads to metabolic adaptation, hormonal issues, etc. And most of all, it leads to a bad relationship with food and with exercise as well, because it kind of turns into that whole punishment and I need to out-exercise anything that I ate on top of what I wasn't supposed to eat and so on. So not a long-term strategy. And so I guess as you mentioned, it goes back to our point number one, where we do really want to be realistic about our goals and about a long-term strategy and sustainability of things. So like, yeah, I think a short-term weight loss sprints can totally work, but they're called sprints for a reason because they end after a short amount of time and they're not supposed to be something that you build on, that you increase even more. Like someone who runs the 100 meter dash is not going to say at the end of the 100 meters, I'm going to increase my speed now and run another 100 meters and then another 100, you know, like that doesn't happen because it doesn't work.
Correct. And Lisa, there's something you said at the very beginning that kind of stuck out to me. And it was that the more is better mentality works because initially it does, right? And so many times I've heard people say, Like, well, I'm doing more cardio because like that's how I got results in the first place. Or I'm doing lower calorie because that's how like that's how I changed, that's how I lost my first 15 pounds. And so I think what people are seeing is like initially it does work, but they're losing the this pattern recognition where they look back on the last 6 months and nothing is working.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that's a really good point because it really depends on our initial standpoint. Like, where are we starting off with? Are we starting from a place of a healthy metabolism and you haven't done any diets in 10 years? Like, cool, okay, by all means, let's do a weight loss sprint. But have you been yo-yo dieting and nothing has worked and you're already at 1200 calories? How should we like build on that? That doesn't work. We need to go through a reverse diet. And like if we were just to Google like how does someone lose weight, probably ChatGPT or GPT or Google or whatever would tell us you need to go into a calorie deficit, and you can do that either by reducing food or adding exercise. So hypothetically or theoretically speaking, that whole more is better strategy is absolutely correct. And on the flip side, something like reverse dieting just doesn't compute in our mind because how am I supposed to either stay at the same weight or only add minimal body weight if I'm actually increasing my calories? Like, that's a lot. I want to lose weight and you're telling me I need to increase my calories? Like, literally everything I have learned in physics negates what you're just telling me. So I think that's also the problem with the whole trying to get people to move away from the more is better mindset, because in theory, on paper, physics does confirm that more is better or more does work.
Exactly. And to put, yeah, to add one more note to this, I'd say this, that just from our experience, it's just like, at least from my experience, it's just unnecessary, right? Like more is not always better because more can actually be, at least from like a fat loss standpoint, can be counterproductive, especially because
Totally.
so many people come to us who are doing a lot of cardio. And time and time and time again, especially women in their 40s and 50s, they already have some sort of metabolic adaptation. So their metabolism is already declined quite a bit because of their years of dieting. And so when you add more cardio on top of that, that just adds stress. And, you know, one key thing is just recognizing how to properly fuel the body and allow it to like rest and recover. And that's one big focus that we now have in our metabolic reset phase, which is what you call the reverse diet, is not only are we working to re-increase calories and decrease cardio, but we're looking to like restore metabolic health, like hormone health, and also like decrease stress too. And going from that through like a fat loss phase, that mentality of more is better, it's very hard to make that shift to like complete 180 and maintain that same mindset in,
No, absolutely, because that equation doesn't take hormones into consideration. It doesn't take body composition into consideration either. It just makes you look at the scale, and that doesn't tell you like how defined you are at the end of your weight loss phase. It doesn't tell you how healthy you feel at the end of your weight loss phase, etc. So yeah, that's the big fault of that equation. And when you were talking, something came up for me as well, in the sense of in business, people say that as well. Like, what gets us to a certain point doesn't necessarily mean it's the same method or thing that gets us to the next level. So, just because you've dropped 20 pounds initially by doing more or eating less doesn't mean that that's going to work for the last 10 pounds, or doesn't mean like you'd need to, sh if you're stuck there for a reason, and just adding on top of that what you've been doing usually doesn't work. Might work initially, like tweaking calories here and there, that's a different thing. But I think what we're talking about is like excessive overexercising or excessive calorie targets that are just absolutely unrealistic. And for me, really, one of the most painful things about this whole mentality is just how restrictive it is, how much of a negative relationship to food that brings about. Because in my opinion, like, my goal for my clients, aside from like sustainability and consistency, etc., is always that they learn to see food as something that actually enriches their life, that doesn't necessarily make them feel like guilty or afraid about social outings or anxious about travels, etc. But that you learn, like, no, I feel very confident selecting something in a restaurant. I feel really confident standing up for myself if someone is a food pusher and wants to give me the third plate of food. I feel like you just feel good, you feel energized, you love the food that you're eating. And as you mentioned, of course, there's going to be different degrees in regards to quantities. But generally speaking, maintaining a healthy relationship or creating a healthy relationship with food should also always be at the forefront of our minds, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And that's actually another great transition to our next mindset shift, because in this next shift or this next thought, Lisa, we know that there can be a lot of guilt and shame around food and how it affects our body image and how it makes us feel. And so I'd love to chat about maybe some shifts that we've helped our clients with understanding how to not tie their worth to the scale or what they eat in a specific day.
I think a really important part here is to find a way that to exercise that you enjoy, where you feel like you're making progress. So, for example, with strength training, I will be completely honest, when I first started strength training, or I ne never thought about enjoying strength training. It was something like, oh, I need to do that. That's kind of boring, etc. But once I A, saw some aesthetic shifts, and B, I learned how empowering that is, not just for women, but like in general, you're like, oh, I can pick this up. Oh, look, I'm getting stronger. I can now do 5 banded pull-ups, and at some point it's a thinner band, and at some point you can do an actual pull-up, and you're like, man, I'm like in my mid-30s or whatever, and I can do something that I wasn't able to do when I was a teenager, or that most people, let's say 99% in this world, probably can't do. So if you said like whatever physical goal it is that you have, like something that brings you joy, I think that's really important, because it makes you love your body more, appreciate your body more. And the other thing with that is also just in general, trying to be kinder to your body, maybe doing something like journaling about the positive things that you like about it. And yeah, it's okay also to write out the things that you want to work on, but not just saying like, I hate this, I hate that, and picking yourself apart more from the sense of, okay, I'm gonna maybe shift my training focus a little bit more on my arms because I don't like how they jiggle so much, or but like looking at things more from a positive perspective. I think that's really, really helpful. And even just in that sense, also making an effort to compare yourself less with others. Like
That's huge.
that I think we all need to do that. Like I personally have to really limit my social media consumption when it comes to comparing myself with other coaches, or with maybe even like competitors when it comes to bikini competitors or so, even though I've never stepped on stage. But sometimes I look at them and I'm like, oh, that looks really cool. And I forget about the aspect that they've been starving for several weeks, and this is just a snapshot in time. I don't see that they were going through a gaining phase before that, etc. Like we just see this one thing. And so for me, it's really helpful, and for most of my clients, it's been quite helpful as well, just to really minimize that. That doesn't mean you can't follow stuff on social media, but like really audit what it is that you're following. Are these people authentic? Do they also show, maybe when they don't have a great day, do they just show you food porn all the time and pretend that they're eating like 3,000 calories but weigh 110 pounds? Like, this is just unrealistic, So I think limiting the comparison, and more than that, also limiting the comparison to your previous self from like 15, 20 years ago. Because maybe by now you've had 3 kids, you're working a full-time job, and 15, 20 years ago you were a college student and you look different. And that's not just okay, that's actually great because you're a different person now. So yeah, those are a lot of like mindset shifts that I think can kind of help having just in general, loving yourself more, I would say.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, well said, Liz. That was awesome. And I think too, when it comes to like understanding like the scale process and even like dealing with these emotions, I think it's really important to like define what progress is and understanding where these emotions are coming from, because every emotion is tied to belief. And a lot of times, like I'll get on coaching calls with clients and they'll tell me something that they felt this emotion, like this feeling of shame or guilt. And I ask them what made them feel that way. And for example, it could be because they had a really bad meal for lunch and they feel like they feel guilty. And so I ask them why they felt that way. So like working through these beliefs is, and understanding the origin of them can be really important, because once you know the facts and we separate those from like the fiction, like that can completely change your mindset. And for example, like at a client who believed that if she had a lot of calories in one meal, that she ruined it for the day. And we had to literally like piece by piece break this apart and say, like, here's the facts. I'm like, what does it actually take to gain 1 pound of body fat? He's like, whoa, it's like that many calories? I'm like, yeah, like that's not, you're not even close to that. And so she's like, and so like, and so I explained it to her that way. So just, I think understanding facts, I think is, and also like defining what progress looks like is really important too. And so,
Yeah, I think that that's a really great point. Like if especially even initially with a client, when they just say like first thing basically, I want to go back to 125 pounds, you're like, okay, we can work towards that, but like, is there a specific reason you want to get to that particular number? Did you have a specific look in mind? You know, what if we get to 130 and you actually look great? Do you think that would you be okay with that too? Or oftentimes people like associate a certain weight with a particular time in their life where they were really happy or something like that. But yeah, I think getting to the bottom of why a specific weight, and then on top of that, maybe also, as you said, like adding some additional goals that are not scale related, pointing out the mindset wins, and when someone does feel guilty or does raise that. I actually had a client reach out to me like a couple of days as well, and she was like, "Lisa, yesterday was terrible. I'm too ashamed to even log it. I almost didn't want to send you this message because I feel like I'm just disappointing you, and I'm disappointed in myself." And I was like, well, first of all, you can never disappoint me, because for me, the main thing is just that people don't give up. Like literally anybody who works on themselves, no matter if they take steps backwards and however long it might take them, if you don't give up, I'm like over the moon and proud of you in any case. And then actually like after that, the next day she was like, oh, I logged what I thought I had and wasn't even that bad. And so she kind of like got herself out of it. And that was, for me, was even just nice to see that initial like feeling of guilt kind of subsided, and she realized, hey, there's no reason. But as you said, if we don't dig into that, we might never find out that maybe it goes back to their childhood. Maybe it goes back to a coach that they had in high school who was telling them, you can never eat sugar, or you can never eat this and that. Like, we don't know.
Exactly. That's so good. Yes. I love how you take your time and help clients understand where like beliefs come from as well, and help them understand what is truly maybe not only important, but also pertinent to them, and what would help them feel still on track and consistent with the goals they have. Because you're right, consistency is so important. And I mean, I'm a dietitian and I fail all the time on my diet. And but it's about being consistent. Okay, I don't fail all the time, but like it's tough sometimes. but I know we're getting short on time, so let's go over our last one and we'll wrap things up. But the fifth mindset shift is this. We know on social media, Lisa, there's so much information, right? There's so much noise out there. And I talk to a lot of women who feel like they're so overwhelmed with the amount of information out there. And so let's say there's someone who has tried a lot of different diets. They're feeling overwhelmed with all the noise and recommendations on social media from their friends. And they are on the verge of giving up, not because they're lazy, just because they're feeling exhausted from, you know, everything that's out there, despite not seeing results. What is some advice, or what's a mindset shift that we can give this person to help them feel that they can make progress and there is still hope in achieving their goals?
I think this question is kind of like, or this shift is almost a combination of all the previous ones combined. So, first of all, that person needs to believe that this time is the time where it's going to work. If they just think it's another attempt and they're probably going to fail it, They're probably gonna fail it. But yeah, okay, so we enter this attempt with just basically clean slate completely. And I think it really depends on kind of the person, because sometimes a big shift, like almost a 180 of what they've been doing, can actually be really helpful. Let's just say someone has that belief of like carbs are bad, etc., and whatever, and then you start with them actually on like incorporating carbs or like just basically something very different, so almost like a shock to their system, even though that might not be the most sustainable way right away. But for someone else, it could also just be we're stripping everything back, sort of like you were saying. And this week, your first week, the goal is honestly just to put on your sneakers. And on top of that, you're going to drink, 80 ounces per day. And like, forget about everything else you have heard. This is just your goal. I need you to trust me. Are you full in on this process? And are you going to be able to, switch off all the other noise? Just give me 3 months. And if you get that quote unquote buy-in from the person, every time they're having doubts or they might come to you and be like, oh, Lisa, I read this study where it was actually telling me I should do this and this and that. And like, you gave me 12 weeks. Is that correct? You just said you were going to trust the process. Yeah, okay. So, like, again, going back to that conversation of like initially setting expectations, I think there it kind of comes down to the coach to establish what does that person need right now. But for the majority of people listening, I would probably say like stripping it back to simplicity, to the basics, and building on that is probably the most beneficial way to go.
I love that. And I think my response would be, I think that would be my response for sure. But I'm gonna give like a completely different response from my experience too, not just from dieting, but just from life, because like life is precious, right? We literally only get one. And like, I feel like I mean, it's limited. And like, I was reading, this is really random, Lisa, but I was reading a stat the other day and I learned that this is super random. The chance of being a human being is one in 400 trillion. Okay. Yeah. One,
What? That's
so
incredible.
that's equivalent to winning the lottery in your lifetime 10 times. Okay. And so I say this because I look at my life and all the times I failed, because I failed Tandem one time, like I dissolved the business. And I remember, like, if I can go back in time, like what I learned from this process, looking at patterns, is it I've always tried it on my own, like before I hired my first mentor. And I'm like, man, like I just had no clue what to do. But I knew that someone did. And then once I found someone who is where I wanted to be, I'm like, it was huge time collapse. Like I saved so much time. And so like, if someone's out there, they're like overwhelmed with like information and they're not sure what to do. And this is not like a pitch for like our coaching, but like there are strategies out there. Like I had someone
Totally.
recently tell me like, man, I can't believe like your coaching program costs. They said, I can't believe your diet and exercise program is this much. And I said, hey, I was like, completely understand, right? Like, and I think what people don't see is that there are like decades of experience and thousands of dollars invested into like learning strategies that actually work. And so from my experience, we're going to pay one of two ways, either with time or like money to get to the end result that we want. And know in my life, which can end tomorrow, I'd rather pay with the only resource that I can get back potentially, which is money. Not time, right? Because like, why spend the next 10 years trying to figure it out when you know that there's never a guarantee? So I guess for
I
my
love that. No, honestly, that's super underrated. And it just kind of like blends out all the other noise. As long as you do commit to that person, you're like, okay, I trust that person fully. Because there's also people, I don't know if you've come across that, but certain people that sign up with a coach and then they're like doubting everything that the coach is saying. And I'm not saying don't ask any questions, because I love it when people ask questions, or if they're like, oh, but I heard something different. Can you explain to me why you're going about it in this and that way? That's totally fine. But if you're second guessing every single thing that your coach is telling you, I don't think that that is right either. You need to trust them. You need to be like, okay, I'm open, I'm coachable, lead me, I'm happy to be led. And that's how the magic can happen.
I've hired probably nine or I've hired nine mentors in my life so far. And all but one, I've literally followed them for like months, if not years, before I made the decision on and to hire them. And once I did, it was like I hopped on a call and I'm like,
That's it.
take my card, because I already believe in you so much. I've seen your results. I know who you are. I
Yes.
know you are as a person. Like the one mentor I had, I remember the guy who had the biggest impact on my life. His name's Dave Smith. He was the owner of Online Trainers Federation. And I remember our very first call, he prayed with me. I'm like, yo, this is wild. I'm like, this is, and like this guy literally changed my life. Like
That's
I
so
thought I knew a
cool.
lot about business. And like I'm like, this guy just opened up a whole new, because you don't really know what's out there. Like people don't know what they don't know, right? And
So
I
true.
think that can like open up an entire new experience, because sometimes you don't know questions to ask because you don't know what to ask. And so anyway, that's a really random
No,
tangent.
that's beautiful. I love that. I love the recommendation of, I guess that goes back to what I was saying, like being more selective about who you hire as a coach, like really do your research or follow them. To see about their philosophy, how they go about things, how they teach, so that you actually have that buy-in and you want to follow them.
To sum that up, I will say this: there are right ways to do things, and there's not so right ways. And so there's ways to, despite there being like information overload, there are resources and people who have effective strategies, and which is why I'm a big fan of yours, Lisa, because you are very science-based and you're super smart, and like your clients get great results as well, and you provide consistent information to your audience, and you network with some of the top, like the industry leading professionals in the nutrition and fitness space. So it's always an honor to have you on the podcast, and I'm
Pleasure is
excited
all
with.
mine.
Yeah, I'm excited the way that this turned out. I thought this was a great episode. And anything else you want to add as we wrap up today?
No, I think I hope we have provided some good value. And if people do follow these five mindset shifts, I have absolutely no doubt that they're not just achieving their results, but also able to sustain and maintain them.
Absolutely. And I'll be sure to add your information in the show notes as well. But like we chatted about before the podcast, I would love to have you on every month to have you bring some value to our audience, because I learn every time we speak, Lisa, and I appreciate you as a friend and a colleague. And I'm looking forward to our next episode. But for now, that is it. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you in our next episode of the Tandem Talk Show.